Welcome to the Fitbox Podcast. This is your host, Joseph Frankie. Glad you're here listening. On our podcast, we talk about two main things. First and foremost, we interview members of Fitbox so that way you can hear their stories about how they're repaying debt, how they're saving for retirement, buying homes, all this type of stuff, really to give you motivation and some different ideas. That's the first thing we talk about. The second thing our podcast do is we take individual finance topics and go through them in more detail so that way you can say, does this apply to me and how does this apply to my plan? So if you have questions or you want to sign up for Fitbox, you can do so in the show notes, fitbox.com, build your profile, schedule a call. We'll be talking to you soon. Enjoy the episode. Welcome to the Fitbox Podcast. I'm Joseph Frankie, your host. If you're watching on YouTube, welcome, welcome, welcome. As always, subscribe, share this with your friends. That's how we get the word out, help a lot of people. Today, we got a special episode, somebody I know pretty well, so Kyle Freeman. Some of you guys might know him from his popularity on TikTok and just social media in general. Some women might know him out there from his stripping days. For my background, Kyle, I mean, we met, I think it was like 2-3 years ago at a conference in Las Vegas called TravCon. I was a presenter at that, and then ended up, you know, me and Kyle there hanging out the rest of the night, heard a story, and it's a unique story. It's a good story to hear, so that's why we're happy to have him on today. Kyle, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Joe, and I hope if you're listening to this, this message finds you well. This is a crazy time for everyone, especially this week that we're recording things. So again, thanks for having me, and I hope you guys are well. So I guess I'll just start from the beginning. Again, I am Dr. Kyle Freeman. I'm a physical therapist. I've been practicing for 3 years now. I graduated December 2016 from Misericordia University. Probably haven't heard of it, probably can't spell it, but it's in northeastern Pennsylvania. Originally from New York. When I graduated, I never wanted to do the typical status quo PT job, right? One of the alumni from my school, Dr. Karen Litzy, is a cash-based therapist, and she came and did a talk one day, my third year of PT school, and she talked about how she was doing cash business in New York City, concierge, and I was like, that's the first second that my eyes opened up to. There's a different way to do things. In the PT world, in the physical therapy world. And then, although I'll tell you how that kind of went downhill and changed routes, but so I graduated. I did not want to stay in New York. The pay wasn't there. I just was getting lowballed, and I just did not want to take less than what I was worth. And so I moved across the country to Arizona. I took a job in inpatient rehab because I felt comfortable there. I enjoyed the setting. I got to work with patients one-on-one. And I hustled. I was getting paid $75K my salary, plus I got $10K towards my loans, a $10K sign-on bonus. They paid for my move. And on top of that, I took on an outpatient orthopedic position part-time to keep up on those skills and just hustle and make money. Over the course of that year, I realized very quickly a lot of the BS that is in the corporate healthcare world. I quickly had to fight for the tuition that was supposed to be guaranteed in my contract over the course of 7 to 8 months. I saw poor care. I saw administration who cared more about their bottom line at a for-profit hospital versus how they treated their employees and how we were basically expendable. And so over that course of time, I quickly started to realize, wow, I do not want to be in this setting anymore. I want to do things the way I want to do them, and I want to treat people the way they should be treated, especially in healthcare. I wanted to kind of stand out. And so I left. Year in, I had to give money back to my employer because I broke my contract, but I didn't care. I wanted to leave with my dignity. I didn't want to be mistreated anymore, and I didn't want to be in that setting. So I ended up moving to San Diego. I decided to try and start my own cash mobile practice, concierge. I also started doing home health to kind of just pay the bills and allow me that flexibility to work on the business. Now, in those few first months, it was exciting. I moved to Carlsbad, California, which is just north of San Diego. I was living right next to the beach. It seemed like a dream. That was where I always dreamed of being and living and settling down, with San Diego, ever since I first visited there in college. I loved it. And I thought, wow, I made it and I'm here. And now I can just start my own thing. And little did I know that this would be, the coming months would be like the worst time in my entire life. The most miserable, depressed, anxious I've ever been. And partially it was because I was in a new city by myself. I was trying to start my own business on my own. Although I took on mentorship, it didn't give me exactly what I needed. Financially, I wasn't making the goals that I wanted to meet. And on top of that, I had student loans. I came out of school with about 85,000 student loans, which in the physical therapy world is about average. There, I had plenty of colleagues that I graduated with that had double that, if not triple. So yeah, I was grateful.
We just ran a statistic the other day on our, so we have 8,000 PTs in our platform and the average is 153,000 now.
That's the average?
That's the average. So yeah, it's gone up a little bit. So,
not to say that, I mean, I am grateful for the amount that I had, but still $85,000 is $85,000.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I don't nod my head at that. You know, that's a massive down payment on a home. That puts some people back a couple years in life. And so I took it very seriously. I didn't want to have that weight on my shoulders anymore. And as I was doing my business and trying to gain clients, and I was just stressed out every single day, I had no guidance. I didn't really know what I was doing. It was my first business. And I finally hit a point where I just realized if I kept doing this, like my health was declining. And my mental health was declining, my physical health, and I just realized I can't sustain this for much longer. Something bad is really going to happen. And that's when I hopped on calls with different people. I had met Joe. I had met you in that time period. And I was just weighing my options. And, you know, I felt shame in closing a business so quickly because I had colleagues who were starting businesses and apparently succeeding. And, you know, everyone shows off their wins. No one really shows off their losses that much, or they want to make like they're doing good. And I get it, but that didn't help me. And I had that comparison issue, comparing myself and where I was in life to people who were further along, who had started businesses earlier. And I eventually said, I have to quit. I have to stop what I'm doing. And I just need to step away. And that's exactly what I did in December of 2018. I quit my business. I closed it out. I quit my home health job and I went away for a month. I went to the Middle East for a month just to clear my head, not think about work, not think about money. And I said, when I come back, my goal is to take care of my health and figure out what I want in my life. Truly, not just my career, but what I want in my life. How do I want it to look? And when I came back, I said, I'm going to do travel contracts, travel physical therapy, because that's what I had envisioned doing in school. And I had just pushed it off. And I said, you know what? This will give me the time to make some good money. I won't have to be in a permanent position and I can take as much time off as I need and have that flexibility to work on something else, whether that's something online or a separate side hustle, whatever. And that's what I did. And over the course of my first travel contract for 3 months, I focused on my health. I was getting into a better routine, listening to a lot of personal development podcasts, really trying to just honestly take care of myself and just be kind to myself and not be stressing and being in the mode that I was previous to my trip, because I didn't want to be like that ever again. And it really helped. And also I started to pay off my loans. And then I took a contract after that one that was 7 months long. That was really good pay. And I did the math and I realized, wow, if I just buckled down, make my loans a priority, I could pay off my loans in 8 months. Because at this point, up to this point, I had not made my loans a priority. I said, I want to save money and invest it and try and make more out of it versus try and pay down my loans and have nothing left. There's basically those two options.
Yep.
When you really look at it, do you want to pay them off or do you want to try and make more money out of the money you already have? And so at this point, I realized, you know what? Getting that weight off my shoulders was in my best interest for my health, my mental sanity. And then I'd be free and I can do what I want at that point. So that's what I did. On a month-to-month basis, I was throwing anywhere from $5,000 to $9,000 a month at my loans. Granted, I was keeping my expenses as low as I could. I wasn't paying more than $1,000 in rent in California. And I moved about four or five times in that year.
Impressive.
And people say, oh, that's impossible. Well, I made it possible, no more than $1,000. And I lived just outside San Francisco. I lived in just outside San Diego, in really some of the most expensive parts of the country. And I just tried to hustle. And I even took on a part-time home health job on top of my travel contract at one point. And by December of this past year, December 2019, I made my last loan payment. And right after that, as a celebration, I went away to Europe. Went to New York for a week, spent 5 weeks off of work just to do kind of the same thing that I did the year previously. It was just clear my head, celebrate, be happy with my progress, and then I'd come back. And so since this year started, this crazy year, I'm still in the travel game, and on a travel contract right now, doing a surge contract, making crisis pay, which is really good, and just saving up money, looking into investment properties over the next year. I make my money go a bit further, because if I buy a home, I can just rent it out and do what travelers do best and make their home work for them. And so that's my goal. So right now I'm saving. But the main thing that probably Joe had me come on here for was last year, I met who's now my partner while I was in Berkeley, California, about a year ago, Sonia. She was doing this thing called TikTok. I had no idea what it was, but she showed me it was videos, fun videos that she was doing, and she had about 60,000 followers at the time, which anytime you find someone who has a following like that, they look like a unicorn. Because you don't always find someone with a following nowadays. You think these social media influencers are just these unicorns in the world. And so I quickly realized, wow, whatever you're doing is working and I'm interested. And in probably, I think it was like August of last year, 2019, I decided to hop on TikTok. Didn't know what I was doing at first. But I grew pretty quickly out of nowhere. And before I knew it, I had about 15,000 followers. And that was partially due to Sonia helping and promoting my account at times. And then I realized, wow, I need to really take this seriously because I can grow from this and I can grow a platform and it's helping grow my Instagram while I'm at it. So right after I got back from Europe in January, I started to go hard and be consistent on TikTok. And over the past few months, I managed to grow my following to, as of today, it's almost 123,000 followers. I have done 2 brand deals, and working on affiliates. I have a couple more in the works. Just yesterday morning, a magazine wants to interview me. And I am decided to start a group called TikTok for Healthcare Professionals, where I am teaching other healthcare professionals how to share their knowledge, how to use the app to grow an audience, grow their influence, get in front of more people, gain clients, whatever it might be, use it as a creative outlet in my Facebook group. And so far it's going well. It's been about a month in, and very, very soon, hint tomorrow, I will be announcing my beta course for it. And it's going to be an online course that people can go through on how to launch their TikTok the right way and start growing an influence and growing an audience on there. So that's really where my focus is at this moment.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Yeah, and there's a few things in there that I'll touch on that are actually really important for, you know, people to understand. I mean, like, just one point, like you brought up your health and stuff, like, because we hear about burnout all the time, and it's because people are so stressed out about their loans or whatever it may be. And it's like, you know, you brought up one of those things of you know, celebrating, like going to Europe and stuff and celebrating your wins, and that's, you know, unfortunately, what I see a lot of times, especially when it comes to finance stuff, you know, finance stuff happens over time. Like you can say, you paid off your loan. I mean, you paid off 85 grand in like 8 months. So it's like, that didn't happen overnight. Like you didn't wake up one day and be like, you know, I'm going to get rid of my loans and tomorrow it happened. I mean, it took 8 months. That's time. And for a lot of people, it might take 5, 6, 7 years. So you got to create those little small goals. But what I find all the times is we're too busy to even celebrate those goals. And the funny thing is like sometimes when you, like you said about going to the Middle East or Europe or whatnot, when you actually take a step back, you realize that you're really not that busy. You realize you're busy with bullshit. Like reading posts on Facebook all day long, or it's like, well, I'm just filling my time. I'm really not that busy. So if I actually concentrate on myself or doing what I'm doing, you actually have a lot of time, and it allows you to, you know, you're celebrating, but at the same time, you're putting stuff in perspective, right? You know, like I got a 3-year-old, so I'm watching Frozen like every other day. And, you know, like in the Let It Go song, she makes a comment about, you know, the problems when you're like, it's a problem seems like a problem when you're up close, but when you're far away, it's actually really small. And, you know, so hearing you, Kyle, be like, dude, I'm knee deep in this shit, and I got away, and all of a sudden you get a clear head. It's like, yeah, a lot of people, you can use that, you know, let it just be hiking or whatever. It's just, you know, clear head. Like a lot of people ask, like, how do I come up with ideas for businesses or products or whatever? So lots of times I just go out to the middle of nowhere. I used to go up to Yosemite all the time on the backside of Yosemite and just go up to one of my uncle's cabins and sit there and go just walk around and just all of a sudden you're not thinking about anything else. And just, so, you know, if you're listening to this, you want a good tip, you know, that's awesome to hear. Like you actually did it and said, look, I'm taking off, and you realize that. But one of the things that you brought up, and this is something that I think I might've told you when we first met in Las Vegas, is how full of shit people are. And I'll give you an example. Like you brought up the people that are on social media talking about how they're doing it. And so a lot of them have come to me about their finances. So I see their finances and they're freaking train wrecks. But you look at them on social media, you think that they're just killing it. And so like you're saying, Kyle, it brings out this false, like, oh, well, I'm not doing as good because they're doing good. It's like, no. And a lot of people just don't realize how hard running a business is. Like I hear a lot of new grads, I want to start a business. It's like, oh, let me sit you down for a minute. Like, so, you know, just touch a little bit on that experience. Just one, like that first experience with starting a business. But now also, like, what did you learn from that you're using? Because in essence, with all the TikTok stuff and everything that you're doing, you are creating a new business. But what are you taking from that last experience? What did you learn from that and applying it into this?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely a lot of good tips. And you did say that to me. A lot of people are full of shit. Yep. And you see people with these huge followings, and some of them aren't making any money. And some of them are really depressed. And that's where, when I realized that I was having my issues and mentally and with the business, is that's when I started to finally vocalize it and be vulnerable with the people who are following me and just putting my message out there and not holding it back, because that's what was killing me, honestly. The second I started being vulnerable and putting it out there, it started to resonate with people. People started to hear me out and be like, man, I'm right there with you, or I'm worse off. And like, thank you for sharing this. Because your story, I said it one day, that your story is what makes you. It's about the process. It's not about the end goal, because truly there is no end goal. There's no finish line. And that's what, Joe, you were talking about how I celebrated my wins. Well, if we're not celebrating those little wins, what are we going to celebrate, right? We're just going to be miserable because we're always going to be chasing something. We're always looking for the finish line. Instead, you truly have to look at the process and look at those little wins. Maybe it's you get your first consulting call. Maybe it's you make your first package deal, whatever it might be. You have to look at those little wins. And yeah, are you going to go out and party about it? Not necessarily, but maybe you celebrate by, you know, going out for ice cream. Maybe you just take a step back and say, I'm going to take the night off and enjoy this and realize that I made this progress. When I started my business, again, I went in with the best intent. I didn't like how patients were getting treated. I didn't like how I was getting treated in my previous job. And I said, I can do better. I know I can do better. I know my intent, and I know how people should be treated. And that's how I went into my business. I didn't know how to start a business, but I did it anyway. And honestly, a lot of the things that scared me or hurt me or kept me up at night were just like the actual the accounting, all the paperwork stuff. I thought the IRS was going to call knocking one day, and I didn't even make a dollar yet. I didn't have the guidance. I didn't have someone telling me like, dude, chill. Okay, you can do this. Don't worry about that stuff. That's not going to happen. You're a small fish. Okay, I was worried about these things because
you should have called me. I'd have been like, F the IRS. No.
it's serious, you know? But the one thing I will say is when I was going through that tough time, the one thing I kept telling myself that kept me going was all of this is happening for a reason. That was it. That one statement. I just said, I am feeling this way for a reason. All of these things are happening to me for a reason. And that at some point I'll come out the other end. And that was it. If I didn't have that one statement in my head, I don't know where I'd be. And that's what kept me going. It's like, just go through this hard time, because the hard times are what make you stronger and make you learn and make you do things better the next time. So you're talking about the things I learned from that experience. Number one, I learned how to go through the process of starting a business. So that was good. You know, I learned that next time to kind of have my ducks a little bit more in a row, per se, so that going into the business, I, number one, necessarily don't have to incorporate right from the start. Like, I'm not incorporating right now. I'm making money, but I'm not incorporating right now. Even my current business coach was like, dude, don't worry about that at the moment. When you start making like real money, then you can do that. Or you have some property to protect, then do that. But right now, just keep track of what you're making and just do it. Just don't worry about that. Just do it. So when I do go to incorporate, it's I'll kind of have a better sense and take it a little bit slower and not be stressing myself to be getting things done. Like, there's some sort of timeline. I put some sort of timeline on myself that I need to catch up to these other people, and I just need to go at my own pace, what seems right, go with the momentum, and that's it going forward. So,
yep, absolutely. I mean, what you're describing there too, where, you know, people, they don't celebrate. And if you don't celebrate, it's just, oh, well, I'll celebrate when I get here. You don't really ever celebrate. Translation. That's what I call the rat race. Right. Yep. And the problem that I see, because, you know, I've done a lot of traveling, not necessarily like in like North America, South America, but like over in China and all that type of stuff. One of the major differences that I see is, because we're such a consumer nation, like, we just buy and buy and buy, that we never are satisfied. It's like, oh, I could finally afford this and I get it. And it's like, okay, well, now I want bigger and better and better. And one of my buddies that I know in China was like, you know, when I was taught this when I was young, was you don't stress about getting what you don't have. You celebrate what you do have. It's like, that's, and if you do that, you're never really stuck in the rat race, because you're always happy. You're like, look, I got what I need. Like, yeah, it'd be nice to have that, but I'm not there yet. I'm going to get there. And so, you know, one big thing away from that I always think I was, you know, focus on the positives, not the negatives. Like, I don't have this. I need this. Well, that person has it. Again, that's keeping up with the Joneses, right? Well, my neighbor has a Mercedes. Yeah, well, your neighbors are actually upside down. And that's, you know, upside down. Now their mind's in debt and can't afford to live paycheck to paycheck. And then COVID hits and they're stressing out their freaking minds because they don't have any money. It's like, you know, I learned that when I got into finance in 2008, doing wealth management stuff, seeing like people like, oh, wow, like, this guy's got $1 million house and this car, like, they must be doing it. And you look at their financials, you're like, what? And they're always trying to get better than the next, like, better than their neighbor, better than their friends. It's like, maybe you should get more new friends. Like, how about that?
And those people who eventually, maybe there is that pinnacle in your head of success, you know, when those people do make it, they get there and it's good for about 5 minutes, maybe a day. Yep. And then they realize, what now? Was that it? You know, they think it's just going to be happiness from there on out. But as most of us have learned, it keeps going. You got to keep going. It's the next thing, right? So, and that's the point, is celebrating those little wins. And I don't know. I've now that I've traveled a lot myself, you know, and become more cultured, and that's just something that's my getaway, the thing that I love, that I love sharing the human experience with other people and their different cultures and living their lives. And the second you step away from your bubble, I grew up in a town, Massapequa, New York, 99.4% white. It was a bubble, a white bubble. Everyone had a lot of money. My family was blue collar. And you know, you grow up and you see all your friends who have Mercedes and BMWs. And then I moved to California and it gets even worse. Everyone has a Tesla and $1 million or $2 million home. And you think it's normal, but it's really not. really, when I look at it and I stepped away, I'm like, wow, I've just been living in 1% life. I'm not the 1%. I was a peasant in those areas. But the second you step away, you realize like what's truly important. And what's truly important is having your mental health, having your physical health, your basics of life, you know, having food on the table, having shelter over your head. And for me, my goals throughout this whole thing was just creating time freedom and financial freedom. The freedom to live the life that I want to, whether that's in my profession that I'm in now or something completely different. And that's okay. I had trouble accepting the fact that I wanted to pivot and do something different. And now I learn, and now I tell people, pivot at any time. You want to graduate from school and do something completely different? Good. I have friends that have done that. You want to quit your business, stop it right now, and go into something absolutely different, go into a side passion? Good. Do it. Because if you continue on the route you're on, you're probably going to continue in misery, and you're probably going to eventually fail too while you're at it. Because if you're not loving what you're doing, then you're going to stop or you're going to fail. That's what I tell my group, my Facebook group, who's learning TikTok. I say, create content you enjoy making. Don't worry about impressing anyone. Don't worry about trying to grow the audience. Just do content that you enjoy making, because eventually people will notice. It will show off in your videos. People will recognize your confidence and you're having fun. Because if you're trying to do something that you're not, or trying to be like someone else, or trying to make content just for the likes, you're probably going to hate it. It's probably not going to succeed, and you're probably going to be miserable. So that's a huge thing I've learned.
Yeah, no, that's it's huge. And like I always say to my wife, I always tell her, you know what, you can deal with the first world problems. I'm going to go deal with the real problems. Like I learned that from my sister. My sister used to be in the Peace Corps down in Paraguay. And it's like, yeah, you know, and then she also worked in, she actually went to school in Rome. But when she was there, she went and lived in Africa, in Benin, Africa, for like a month. And so it's like, you know, you see at that, and yeah, I remember, you know, when Haiti had the floods, or the earthquake, I'm sorry, the earthquake. So my wife, or my sister's a nurse, right? So when they had the earthquake in Haiti, she went out there for a week. And she showed me this picture of this little girl, right? The little girl was like the happiest girl I've ever met in my life. Like just seeing, like visually seeing, my sister was like, she was always smiling, like just loving that she had food and all that stuff. A week before that in the earthquake, she lost 18 of her family members, her mom or brother or sister, everybody lost them all. They all died. And here's this little girl who literally lost everything. He was probably 8 years old with a smile ear to ear because she was happy that she was getting help and she had food and that she could eat. It's like, yeah, I don't really need that Mercedes or those Jordans or whatever the hell else you think you need, right? Like, you know, it kind of puts stuff in the perspective. So good stuff. Now, side note, before we go into TikTok, because I do want to get into that.
Sure.
One little thing, because there's little things like tidbits that I pick up along the way that I do on a daily basis. Like, you know, everything from sleeping patterns to coffee stuff, like not drinking coffee or caffeine and all that type of stuff. And I don't really ever share them because most of the time when you share this shit, people are like, you're weird, right? But one of the ones that I loved, that I was like, oh my God, Kyle might be the only person that I've ever met that actually did this, because I'm the only one that I know that does this.
The cold showers?
The cold shower. So yeah. You know, for those of you that don't know, I had this thing where I was just like, I can't wake up if I take a hot shower. So I'm just taking a cold shower as cold as I can. And Kyle posted about it, like that he started doing it. I'm like, oh my God. So yeah, explain to me like your reason behind that or any other small nuanced things that you picked up along the way.
Yeah. So that actually started after my first trip when I was like trying to get my shit together and get my mental health back. And I started looking into Wim Hof. If you're familiar with him, he does a lot of breathwork stuff, and he's called the Iceman because he'll go swimming in like Arctic oceans and his body temp stays the same because he does a lot of breathwork that kind of changes your physiology and helps you tolerate the stresses of ice water better. So I started looking into that, and I looked at the benefits of just taking doing cold water immersion, and on a daily basis, the easiest way to do that is a cold shower. Not everyone has an ice bath they can jump in, or a cold lake to jump in, or a pool or whatever. So every morning I decided I'm going to wake up, not look at my phone. This is I'll just go into my morning routine at this point, or the routine I try to stick to as much as possible. I wake up, I don't look at my phone, because other than turning off my alarm, because your emails, your text messages, second you start looking at them, you're giving someone else your time. And on top of that, with everything going on right now, it's an easy way to set you off on the wrong foot at the beginning of the day. You're going to see something stupid on Facebook, something that irritates you. You're going to get anxious about something. Take the first hour, at least 30 minutes of your day to yourself and focus on yourself. So part of that is ignoring your phone. Then I hop directly in a cold shower for about, I just turn it on as cold as can be for 60 to 90 seconds. And just focus on my breathing. And that really helps to not only wake me up, but it really kind of helps to ground me and calm me for the day. And after I take that 60 to 90 second cold shower, I usually do like a 10 minute meditation that really helps to set the tone for the day. And then I do my thing. And then I eat breakfast and brush my teeth and start looking at my phone and whatnot. And I'm just more grounded. I'm ready to take on the day a bit more. I'm not so reactive. I've given myself that time. And honestly, anytime I'm feeling super anxious or I just need to settle down, I'll take a cold shower. You know, even growing up, you might even do this with your kid, right? If your kid's getting crying, their eyes out, they start getting hot, sweaty, what do you normally do? A lot of times people take like a cold towel. Yep. Or like a little ice pack, put on their neck, put on their head, and it helps to calm them down. It helps to, you know, I don't want to get into medical stuff, but, you know, it helps with vasoconstriction. It helps to slow down your heart rate. And it helps with all these physiological benefits. And it's been shown to help decrease anxiety, depression, amongst so many other things. And so it's been working for me. I always push other people to do it because it's something anyone can do as long as you have access to a cold shower. And so it's been hugely beneficial, and it's my go-to for things.
Yep, absolutely. And I guess I'll share two of mine, because like I said, I never really share mine very much. The one that I used to like that I can't do anymore because my wife won't let me and have a 3-year-old that won't let me is different sleep cycles. And so I had this thing where it was like, you tend to be able to focus for 2 or 3 hours at a time. And whenever you are in that, you should be only concentrating on that one thing, and that's it. And so what I started doing was I started actually being awake for 3 hours at a time. And then I would go and sleep for 2 to 3 hours. And I would literally, before I went to go sleep for 2 or 3 hours, I would literally be like, when I wake up, this is what I'm doing. Like, it could be cooking and eating. It could be playing with my daughter. It could be working on a new marketing piece for Fitbox. Didn't matter what it was, I was like, that's what I'm doing. And I was able to do it for like 2 weeks, and I got more done in those 2 weeks than I have ever done in my life, and was never tired at all. And then I got to the second weekend, and I went to go lay down, and my wife was like, well, what are you doing? You're not laying down right now. Like, we got to go. And it's like, shit. I was doing it. I got that from reading something from Nikola Tesla, and because that was what he used to do. But from what I've read on different people that do it now, instead of doing it, so basically you do it like, I was doing it 4 or 5 times a day in those cycles, but obviously a lot of people can't do that. So a lot of them talk about bicycles, where you're actually doing like 5 hours sleeps, and then you're up, and then you do 5 hours instead of like 8 hours. And actually that's what I'm doing now, is I don't sleep more than 6 hours. I don't sleep less than 4. Anything less or anything more than that, I'm a train wreck. Anything right in that sweet spot, let's do it. Right. So that's what I'm doing now. And then the other one I actually just started doing, actually I'm 30 days into it, is just giving something up for 40 days, period. Every 40 days is something new.
So a Lent every 40 days.
Exactly. It just builds discipline, right? Yeah. It's like, look, I could do this. I don't need this crap. And you just test yourself, and it just helps build discipline. So those are my two big ones, is the sleep patterns and the discipline training. So
yeah, that's part of taking cold showers too, is in the morning, this sometimes the last thing you want to do is have piercing cold water hit you right in the morning. So it's a way of saying I'm challenging myself at the beginning of the day. And if the rest of the day sucks, well, at least I did this one good thing.
Yep.
And you put yourself through that pain. And after that, you can feel accomplished. But as far as that what you're just talking about, you know, I would say it's easier when you have your own business to do something like that. If you are at a job that requires you to work 8 hours a day, you can't necessarily do stuff like that. Today, I wish I could have taken an hour nap. I was exhausted. But, you know, one good thing is that typically people say that you can only focus purely for about 20 minutes at a time before you start to lose your attention. So, you know, again, not everyone can do this. I mean, I worked outpatient. And sometimes you don't have a second to think, you know, you're just running around seeing patients. But if you're just working on stuff, the best thing you can do is focus for 20 minutes, take 5 minutes to step away, whether that's go get a drink of water, get your eyes off the screen, step outside for 5 minutes, and then come back to it. And then you could kind of refocus. And studies have shown that that's beneficial.
So. Yeah, it was funny. It was when my first job out of college, when I worked for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And we convinced our boss to let us sleep for an hour after lunch. And it lasted for about a week and a half. And basically no one would ever do shit in the afternoon when everybody woke up because everybody would just be tired and not do anything. And like, I was the only one that was doing shit. And he's like, nope, sorry. Like, we got to take this away. It's like, damn it.
That would be beneficial for me because I have to watch what I eat at lunch because, you know, you eat the wrong thing and you're sluggish as hell because, you know, all the blood's rushing to your stomach. You ate too many carbs. I try to avoid carbs at lunch because I'll just be, like, useless the rest of the afternoon. So
that's another one that I do. One more. I'll share this one more. And my wife, she gets on my ass about this because she thinks it's really unhealthy and it probably is extremely unhealthy. I eat once a day at night. That's it. Because to me, it's like every time I eat, I'm satisfied. I don't have that edge. And so it's like, I purposely don't eat all day because it's like, you're hungry. Just naturally you're trying to find food. So you're just, so it's just a mentality of like, I'm getting after it because and then as soon as I eat, I'm just like,
done. I do believe in the intermittent fasting and I've done it. I honestly sometimes do it unintentionally where I not eating until lunchtime and eat between usually 12 and 8 p.m. And usually my mornings, I'm super on point, whether I've had coffee or not. And so usually the 16 hours of no eating followed by 8 hours of the day that you can eat, I really find it beneficial and recommend something. You try it for at least a couple days a week or one day a week and see how you do.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, all that stuff. I mean, I remember the first time we met back in Vegas. I was drinking like 5 rock stars a day, right? Like I haven't had caffeine in 8 months, not any. Period. It's pure sleep cycles, the way you eat, like all that stuff's like great. Let's do it.
Yeah, if you're getting the right sleep, and you're eating at the right times of day, that's all you need. I mean, and everyone's different. You know, there's no like you can do 4 to 6 hours a day, and some people like me, I need more than that. I need a full 8 hours. I just can't.
You need that beauty sleep. You're a lot better looking than me. That's why.
I don't know. I'm just not a morning person in general. And sometimes I just can't get the rest I need. So that's what I need for my body. I wish I can get away with 6 hours, but you know, that's also part of loving what you do, right? You know, if you love what you do and you're excited to wake up in the morning and do what you're working on, sometimes that's all you need. Yeah. I've had it before and, you know, some days I don't. And some days I'm like, I'm stoked to get out of bed and do something.
Yeah.
So if you have that feeling, you're doing life right.
And I got my new person that makes sure she checks me. That's my 3-year-old. Last night at like 9 a.m. I'm like, or 9 p.m. I'm like, you know, little one, I'm going to go, you know, help some people and answer some emails. And she looks at me, she goes, Dad, you need to go to sleep. I'm like, why? She's like, your eyes are black. And I was like, you're 3. How do you know that? So I was like, all right, let's go lay down and go take a nap. So good stuff. So TikTok, you know, relatively new platform. All right. So, you know, just, you know, let's go ahead and end the podcast just on a few minutes on TikTok, just talking about, you know, for those of you that don't know what it is, you know, Kyle, you know, what is it? What do you do? How's it good for marketing, the audience, you know, all that type of stuff.
Right. So right now what I do is, cause it's simply the truth. I tell people TikTok of 2020 is the Instagram of 2012. And that is the straight up truth. If you've heard of it or you haven't heard of it, it's still in its infancy, but it is growing rapidly. And that's partly due to the pandemic because people were at home and found TikTok as a fun outlet. And now businesses are realizing the potential of TikTok and how it is the new social media platform. So in its basic form, TikTok is short film infotainment. Okay. That's what I refer to it as, because you can make videos between as short as like 5 seconds up to 60 seconds. Most videos are about 15 to 18 seconds. And it's anything you want to create. It can be funny. It can be educational. It could be for your business. It can be some skill or passion that you have, whether that's cooking, gardening, doing physical therapy, showing off voice acting. It started out with a younger population. It used to be called Musical.ly. And it was a lot of kids dancing, singing, doing lip syncing, stuff like that. And then TikTok took over. And although it is a younger population on the app, the amount of people on the app, number one, is growing rapidly. It is over 800 million users. It might even be, I don't know if it hit a billion yet this month, but it might be soon. And on top of that, the age range on the app is ever increasing. There are millennials, there are people in their 40s, 50s, 60s. I see even grandparents that have millions of followers on there. And the nice thing about it is you can be yourself. It is pushing people in my group to open up more, be more creative. For me, before TikTok, you didn't really see some of the things about me that you do in some of my videos, right? A lot of what I do is humorous. I make healthcare humor. I do educational stuff and make it humorous as well, and just try to make it entertaining, because that's what the app is about. At its purest form is entertainment. But with that said, you can make education entertaining as well. And so since I grew so rapidly on the app, and about 2 months ago, TikTok actually reached out to me about how they were running a pilot program called their Creative Learning Fund. Which is basically focused on education, because they saw how a lot of the educational videos on the app were doing well. And that's from different standpoints, from healthcare clinicians to do-it-yourselfers to makeup artists to hairdressers, all different things, bartenders. And they wanted to do this pilot program to push education and see how it does. So I was selected as one of their few creators to be a creative partner in their program. So I have to make 40 videos, education based, with certain restrictions on what I can and can't do, and some hashtags and stuff, to kind of promote it. And they want to see how it does. And so because of that, I have a TikTok manager, which really helps, because they take a look at our accounts. I can ask questions. I can learn more about the app itself and really grow. And that's what I'm sharing with a lot of the people who are in my group and consulting with. On top of that, just about a week or a week and a half ago, Disney's head of streaming actually became TikTok's CEO. So the guy who launched Disney Plus, which was hugely successful, is now TikTok's CEO, which is huge, because that's an American CEO now, because it used to be, it was a Chinese-based app, and people were very concerned about the privacy and security of the app. But now that we have an American CEO for TikTok, and he's from Disney of all companies, TikTok is not going anywhere. There are already copycat platforms that are trying to do what TikTok's doing. Even my partner Sonia works for one of them, trying to build it up, and said it's taking forever. TikTok is the number one short film video infotainment app right now, and it's going to continue to grow. Just within the past few months of me being on TikTok and growing my platform there, I was able to grow my Instagram by over 4,000 followers without even doing anything different on Instagram, because I got in front of a new audience. I have people in my group who are gaining patience and clients, driving people to their membership sites, who are providing education to their communities, who are getting in touch with people across the world. Just me personally, I've had brands reach out. I'm doing paid videos, affiliates. I am speaking in an Australian physio group on Facebook in July. You know, again, I have over 100,000 followers, which is a decent amount nowadays. So I'm a little ahead of a lot of people, but the thing is that TikTok is still in its infancy. It won't be for long, but it still is. They're still trying to push people onto the app. They want to make sure it's a good user experience. They don't want to push too much advertising yet, because that can push people away. And so they're really focused on improving the user experience. Whereas Instagram, they made their billions of dollars. Their focus is, how do we monetize the shit out of Instagram at this point, right? Well, TikTok, although you can monetize, they're not pushing it so hard right now. Though you can grow an audience and monetize your own way, the focus is on keeping creators happy, keeping the user experience good, and continue to grow. And that's why I'm trying to push people onto the app, not just because I'm running a course and whatnot, but if you want to, I missed Instagram. I missed the hype of Instagram years ago. I was focused on school. And by the time I got on Instagram in 2017, I think,
it was too late.
And nowadays, you want to grow on Instagram, get organic traffic, it is extremely hard for anyone who's trying to do it. But the people who are growing rapidly are TikTok creators, because they are getting in front of new people. They are able to grow much more rapidly. I have people in my group who get one video to go viral, and it's not that uncommon. I have people getting hundreds of thousands, if not millions of views unexpectedly. And all it takes is overnight. Now they have 10 to 20,000 followers. It's insane. Yeah. And those followers bleed into your other platforms. So overnight you can have a new group of people who, if you have a business, are willing to buy from you or are willing to follow you, and you can create an influencer, create a new audience. So it's really exciting, and it's a fun platform to be on.
Yeah. So you brought up, those of you that don't know, we're recording this June 2nd. So tomorrow, Kyle's coming out with his course. You know, where can people find you? Where can they find the course? Where can they find more information? All that fun stuff.
For sure. So the course itself doesn't launch tomorrow. I'm just announcing
it. Oh, the beta. That's right. The beta.
Yeah. I'm announcing that I'm doing the beta. So I'm going to bring in beta testers. If you hop in my group in time and get to see the announcement before it fills up, you're welcome to join. I'll be making a post tomorrow. But on TikTok and Instagram, you can find me. It's at TikDocPhysio. That's TikDocPhysio. And on Facebook is my Facebook group, TikTok for Healthcare Professionals, Growth Tips, Education, and Community. We just surpassed about 400 members, and we've only been up for about like a month, which is great. There's a lot of free value, free information on there. Whether you have a TikTok account already and you just want to learn more, or you want to network with other healthcare providers, you can. There are other people who are healthcare providers and aren't doing healthcare related platforms on there. They're focused on other passions. So you can find us in there. But even if you miss out on the beta and you're interested in it, the full course will be out probably in the next month and a half once I run the beta and we get some testimonies and I can make it better.
Yep, definitely. So thanks for coming on. It's always fun. I know whenever we started talking for like hours. Like I think last time we were in Vegas at the seminar, I think we were talking for like 4 hours.
you're always one of the smartest people at that conference, so I know I'm talking to the right person.
Nah, there's a lot of other smart people there.
I know that, but
so I just don't like dealing with the bullshit of all this fake crap. That's the thing that gets at me, because it's like I know how hard this stuff is. And I mean, everybody always asks, like, for me, on the business side of things, what's the big piece? And it's not what you know. It's not about business. It's not about your knowledge about that. It's more psychology than anything. Like, you're talking about the ups and downs. It's like, man, like, you know, maybe one day I'll share with you guys one of my worst days I've ever had in my life. And it's like, and it came from the morning was probably the best morning I've ever had in my life. And within 15 minutes, like, so you got to learn how to deal with that stuff. And you know, the psychology side of it's tough.
Yeah. I mean, if like there's one last thing I could say is that, like, you know, most of actually what I do with helping people with TikTok and consulting and is not so much the stuff on the app. It's actually just, number one, lighting a fire under someone's ass to start doing the damn thing. Give them the confidence if they're fearful of being judged or putting content out. And really just opening people up, the positivity, the mindset of do something that you enjoy, do something that's fun, do something for you. Don't worry about the likes. Don't worry about the followers. Do something because you purely enjoy it. Whether it's a creative outlet for maybe you don't like your job right now and you see this as a creative outlet to express yourself more and be more of who you truly are and be more personable. That's really what I'm promoting. Yeah, I tell people how to use the buttons and features and stuff like that. But really what I enjoy the most is just truly helping people be better versions of themselves and get past their negative mindset or limiting barriers that they have on themselves. So if there's anything you take away from that, it's just be more of yourself. And I've learned it myself over these past couple of years. And when you become more self-aware, you become happier. Because you really learn what you want in life and you really start to go after what those things are.
Yeah. Okay. Great way to put it. Maybe one day we'll have you on and we'll talk more and more about like psychology stuff and everything. So, because that's like a whole nother podcast. That's like 15 podcasts in a row, but awesome. 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 It's always fun talking. Kyle, thanks for coming on. Again, you guys know how to find them. I'll put it down in the show notes and YouTube. I'll put it down in the comments and everything. You never know. You might be seeing FitBucks on TikTok pretty soon too. So we'll see. I might be jumping into Kyle's course because I know absolutely nothing about it. So good stuff. Kyle, it's been fun.
All right, man. Talk soon, yeah. Okay?